Psalms chapter number 69 in your Bible. Psalms chapter number 69. And when you get there, if you could stand out of respect for God's Word, if you're able. I feel like more and more I have moments where, especially up here, where there are things that come out of my mouth, and as I'm watching them come out, I'm like reaching to try to grab them, and then I just make it worse because I keep talking. You know, I should just shut up. I just keep going and keep going. Psalms chapter 69. Psalm 69. Are you there this morning? All right, verse number 30, Psalm 69:30. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Let's pray, and then we'll get on with the rest of the service. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this day You've given us, Lord. I thank You for this opportunity, Lord. You've allowed us to be in church today, Lord, and hear the Word of God, Lord. Dear God, I just pray for the Epleys, Lord, as they get ready to sing, Lord. I pray that You'd fill their music, Lord. I pray that You'd just let it speak to our hearts, Lord. Let it convict us when we need convicting, Lord. I pray for Brother Epley as he gets ready to preach. I just pray that You'd fill him with Your power, Lord. Fill him with Your Holy Spirit, God. Lord, and I just pray that You have him preach what You've laid on his heart, Lord. Lord, help him hide him behind the cross, Lord. And Lord, I pray that there's somebody here today who doesn't know for sure heaven is their home. Lord, I pray You wouldn't let him leave that way today, but get it settled. Lord, I love You. In Your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Brother Swarovski, would it be all right if I just use this? Okay, I might just use it.
All right. What I do with my Bible? Carrying it over here. Amen. If you can find your Bible, open it up. Open it up to the book of Psalms. Amen. The book of Psalms. I taught the Sunday school class for today.
Let me see here. I'll just put this here in case I wander around. I'll grab it, okay, brother? Can I put it down here? But I taught his Sunday school class. I told him I hated to knock him out of a job, but he graciously asked me to teach his class today, and I appreciate the opportunity. And so some of this may be a little bit of a rerun, some of this for those in Sunday school. By the way, those in that class today, how many times is the word thanksgiving in the Bible? Now, these are Bible scholars, folks. How many people know that? 30 times in the Bible you find thanksgiving. Over 130, you find that word thanks. And not only do they know the Bible, they know history. What year did Abraham Lincoln declare a certain Thursday to be Thanksgiving Day? What year was it? Folks, now look, these people, they've got wisdom. They know something. And I know Brother Morris has taught them well, and he must be a great teacher. By the way, I noticed Brother Morris and the pastor had a birthday on the same day, and they said you sang happy birthday to them. Is that right? Amen. Well, that's good. But then I said, Brother, did they give you a gift? And boy, you know, every Sunday school class, they ought to give their teacher a real nice gift on his birthday. And I'm sure the church gave you probably a new car or something, wasn't it? Probably something. Amen. All right. Well, let's look here. The dear brother a while ago read Psalm 69 and verse 70. We'll just launch from there today, but there are many verses that we may look at today. Psalm 69. And as I told them in the Sunday school class, David was in a deep, dark valley when he wrote this. But you know, one way to pull yourself up out of a valley is to give thanks. Just start being thankful. Start praising the Lord. And just everything you can think of, just start thanking God for it. And you know what? It'll do something for you. It's really a cure for depression to start thanking God and praising the Lord. And here in verse number 30, David said, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. When we praise God and give thanks to God, it magnifies the Lord. It exalts the Lord. It pleases the Lord. It blesses the Lord. I like that psalm that says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. If you want to bless the Lord, be a thankful person. Have a thankful heart. Don't go through life grumbling and complaining. I mean, just thank God in everything. Give thanks. And let's look at that. 1 Thessalonians. Turn back there, if you will. 1 Thessalonians. It's all through the Bible where we should give thanks to God. And here it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 18. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not there, say wait. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I told them in Sunday school, here's one way you can be sure you're in the will of God. I mean, you're in the will of God when you're thankful. This, there are not many things in the Bible where God comes out and says, this is the will of God. Are you looking for God's will today? This is the will of God. Here it is. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Now, there's a verse over in Ephesians that says, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things. Now, listen, my friend, that can be a challenge. To give thanks for all things. And you know, I thought about that. I meditated on that one time and I thought, how can it be? I mean, some tragedy, some accident, a birth defect, whatever it might be, something horrible that happens. And yet the Bible says, give thanks to God. And you know, a thought came to me. There's only one way I believe we can really do that. And that is to take that verse, giving thanks always for all things, and put it right beside Romans 8:28. Where the Bible says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things. If you love God today, and you love the purpose of God today, and you're called according to that purpose, then the Bible says all things work together. We may not see the good in it, but God can take something that seems like a disaster. It seems like a tragedy, and it doesn't make any sense to us. God can take that and put it with something else and somehow bring something good out of it that will glorify God in the end. And we may not understand it. You know what? We're not called to try to figure out God. We're not called to understand God. We're called upon to trust God. Put our faith and trust in the Lord. And I know people sitting here today, you've gone through some tragedies. You've gone through some great difficulties. And you walked through some dark valleys. But thank God, here you are today in the house of God. Here you are praising God today, singing these wonderful hymns today in the house of the Lord. And I thank God for you. Right now, my wife and I, we are walking through a valley. And it's a valley that we're walking through with her mom and dad. 5 months ago, her mother fell in her own bedroom. Fell. She got up to go to the restroom, got dizzy, and she fell against the wall, and she broke her neck. And not only that, but a vertebrae in her back. And her mother was in a neck brace and a body brace for weeks. She was flat of her back in Evansville for 5 weeks. And we basically lived in Evansville. And right now she's home. And we basically live in their house with them. We go out on weekends for our meetings because my wife has no sisters but one brother. And he's a truck driver. He comes in on the weekends. And he can watch after them. But right now they do need care. They need caregivers. And her dad is 85 years old. He's had two strokes, maybe three. And his speech is about gone. His hearing is about gone. And he can barely walk. His knees are, they're just about to lock up on him. And he has heart trouble and he has kidney trouble and all that. But my friend, for 5 weeks in Evansville, Indiana, we watched that man, 85 years old, in such a bad shape, he slept in a chair for 5 weeks because he did not want to leave his wife. He would go home once in a while. We'd talk him into going home and maybe take a shower and do something, but he wanted to get right back to that hospital and be right by her side. When they moved her into a nursing home for rehab, they just moved him a bed in right beside hers because he ain't going home. And, I mean, what an example I've seen now in the last 5 months of that verse that says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You know what Jesus said to us, the church today? He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that dear man, by his actions, has said to his wife, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But not only that, but we have seen in that man a thankful heart. With all of his problems, with all of his burdens. And I've seen him at the point where, you know, he could... One night I was there in the middle of the night. We'd take shifts staying with him. One night I heard a crash about 3 a.m. I looked over his recliner. He tried to get out of his recliner in the hospital room, and it tipped over. And he fell over. He's down there lying on the floor. She's in the bed, flat of her back, so weak that she can't even call the nurse. I'm glad I was there. I'm glad we stayed with him. But you know what? I promise you this. That was a rough night. But the very next morning, he would get up. He would get up out of that bed. And he would walk. This is how he has to walk. Just about like this. He'd get up out of that chair and make his way over there beside her bed, reach out and take her hand, and there they would pray together every day. And you know what? His speech, because of the strokes, it's hard to understand him. But you can always hear this. Thank you for this great day. You can always hear that great day. And then you always hear him pray, grace, mercy, and peace be upon you. Be upon her, whoever he's praying for. And you always hear him thanking God. I mean, when he bows his head to thank God for a meal, which we all should do, amen. No matter where we are, we ought to bow our heads and thank God for the food that he's given us. And he bows his head, and his wife prays along with him every time we have a meal, no matter where we are. Took him to Shoney's the other day, and there they were. Boy, I tell you one thing, he's still got a good appetite. I can tell you that. He's got a great appetite. But they bow their heads and they pray out loud and just thank God for what he's done and praise the Lord. I'm saying today, you might have been through a tragedy, you might have gone through a dark valley, but we can still praise God. And you know, it's the grace of God that he gives us to be able to do that. And I thank God for his grace. You know, he gave that grace to Job. And Job, in his dark hour, said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He blessed God. He praised God in that dark time in his life. That's grace, and that's what grace can do. Thanksgiving is all through the Bible, giving thanks to God. You know, the one thing that you find probably more than any other term about Thanksgiving, it talks about a sacrifice of thanksgiving. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. And of course, back in the Old Testament days, they would offer animals, you know, the goat or the sheep or whatever it might be, an oxen, and they would offer thanksgivings to God, and that was their sacrifice of thanksgiving. It cost them something to do that. But for us today, what is our sacrifice of thanksgiving? You know, it could be, we've got this offering today. We've got this offering today. That would be good. That would be good to give a sacrifice. Give till it hurts. One man said to his wife, he said, write out a check and to give to the Lord. And she said, all right, I wrote it out. And he said, you know what, that didn't hurt, write another one. And so finally, she wrote out one, and he said, what about that? If we gave this much, what would that do to our bank account? And she told him, and he said, that wouldn't hurt us. And finally he went on, he said, what if we gave this much? And she said, well, I'll tell you, this is what it would do. He said, yeah, I'd feel that. I would feel that.
Write it out. Let's give that a sacrifice of thanksgiving. But you know, another way might be when we thank God and praise God even when we don't feel like it. Even when you don't feel like it, still say, thank God, praise God, and give God the glory in your life. And God will bless you for that. We find a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a prayer of thanksgiving. Find out in the Old Testament, there was a man in charge of the thanksgiving. I mean, they would praise God. They had singers in the temple who would praise God. And there was a man appointed to be over the thanksgiving. And he was in charge of it. He wanted to make sure that they did it right, thanking God and praising God. By the way, choir, I love that song today. If you're in the choir, you blessed my soul today. That was good, a great song. And I even saw some people in the choir who looked like they were happy. I tell you, I've seen some choirs, and you'd think that they'd been sentenced to stand up there, and they were just serving out their sentence, singing in the choir. But I saw some happy faces, and I thank God for that. And I thank God for that beautiful song. You know what? That magnified the Lord. Amen. It did. You folks ought to get out and invite people. Say, come to church and hear our choir. Not to mention our great preacher, but you got to come hear our choir. It was great. And thank you for practicing. Thank you for that beautiful music today. You know what? Even in the Bible, you even hear thanksgiving coming out of a whale. You do. You do. The thanksgiving coming out of a whale. It's in the book of Jonah. I mean, he's down in the belly of that whale and he had a prayer meeting. He repented. He got right with God. And he used the word thanksgiving. He said, I'm going to praise you with a voice of thanksgiving. Coming out of a whale down in the depths of the ocean. You find in Psalm 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Can I just tell you today, if you want your prayer life to be a delight, if you want God to get in on your prayer life, I won't ask today how much you pray. I won't ask anybody to say it out loud, because some of you would bow your head in embarrassment if it were known how little that you really pray. Now, everybody prays when they get in a pinch. Everybody prays when, boy, you know, they got to have help. They got to have somebody to help them. Everybody prays when they're under pressure. Everybody. Probably even Democrats pray when they're in hot water over something. Franken may be praying today. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. Most Christians don't pray much. They don't pray much. I don't know who gave this statistic, but they're probably right. Most Christians probably pray about 5 minutes a day, if that much. My friend, that ain't much praying. With all that we've got to pray about, we've got a country going to hell. We've got lost sinners all around us. We've got backsliders, prodigals all around us. We've got families in trouble all around this church. Your relatives, your friends who need the Lord. There's so much to pray about. But you know what? There's so much to praise about too. And praise and thank God. I told the Sunday school class, when I get up in the morning, I go somewhere. And of course, if we're staying in a hotel room, I don't go far. I can't go too far. But I go somewhere and I thank God. I get on my knees and thank God and thank Him for a while. And sometimes I get so caught up in thanking God and praising God that I almost forget to make my requests known unto God. But I'll tell you what, if you want a prayer life that you can enjoy, you know the man wrote the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a world of care. But most Christians don't know anything about a sweet hour of prayer. It's the fast 5 minutes of prayer. It's, boy, let get in here, tell God what I need, and get on my way. I don't have time. I just don't have time. We got time for everything else. I mean, we got time for everything else. We got time to watch that program, watch that ball game. Got time for social media. Lots of time for Facebook. We got time for all these things. We got time for McDonald's. We've got time for everything. Plenty of time to eat. And, oh, you ladies, there's time to shop. There's time to shop. You shop till you drop sometimes, or till your husband runs out of money. And, boy, there's time for that. But we just don't have time to pray. My friend, I want to give you this today. You can take it or leave it, but I'll tell you, if you want your prayer life to go to a new level, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Start your prayers off. Gates, that's when you enter. You enter the gate. And the gate of prayer. When you enter the gate of prayer, enter with thanksgiving. I mean, begin to thank God. Just think of how many things. I've got a list that I go over every day. But that's not all. But every day of my life, thank You for salvation. Thank You, Lord, for my wife. The greatest thing that ever happened to me after salvation is my wife. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I couldn't be doing what I'm doing for the Lord today without my wife. I thank God for a wife who loves the Lord and walks with God and has a sweet spirit. Amen. Thank God for that. We've been married 40 years. 40 years. This year, this is our 40th year of marriage. Back in June, we celebrated. Really, I like to celebrate all year. I like to squeeze everything I can out of a celebration, you know. But I tell you, after 40 years, I love to be with her. And if she's truthful, she loves to be with me. And I think she is. We just enjoy being together. It's a good thing because we're together all the time. We are. We really are. We're together all the time. We travel. This is what we do. What we're doing today, singing and preaching. This is our life. And right now, caregivers for her mom and dad. And you know what? I don't begrudge that one bit, just in case you're wondering. All those days and weeks and months that we're spending helping them get back on their feet again. And to be honest with you, I don't know if they will get back on their feet again. I don't know if her dad, he seems to be getting weaker. But I don't begrudge it one bit. I thank God we can do it. I thank God we can be there for them. I really do. I thank God for the privilege. I got to take care of my mom for 6 months when she was at her worst. My wife stood by my side. Now we get to take care of her mom and dad. I'm standing by her side. You know what? Really, I owe my soul to those people. I owe my salvation to Jesus. But humanly speaking, her dad came to Candleton, Indiana, started the church where I got saved. He cared for my soul. They prayed for my soul. Her mom, when her mom would go to the altar and get up, most of the time there'd be tears on the altar. I mean, she had that tender heart. She prayed, and he would get up and preach the Word of God. And I mean, he was a hell fire and brimstone preacher. Put the fear of God in me. And I owe them my life, and I owe them, thank God, for my wife. They raised a virtuous woman for me to marry. So I thank God we can take care of them. I thank God for that. But I'm saying today, if you want to pray, if you want to just, when the presence of God comes into the prayer room, or wherever it might be, wherever you're praying, it might be out in the woods. A lot of times I pray in a hotel room. I pray in the bathroom. There's only two rooms, you know. And by the way, thank you for the hotel room. He put us in the Holiday Inn. The Holiday Inn. It's beautiful. It's new. It's new. It is absolutely beautiful. And I want to thank you for that. You didn't have to put us in such a nice place. Really, not at all. But I thank you for that. But, you know, when you begin to thank God, His presence comes. And when the presence of the Lord comes, you'll want to linger. You don't want to leave. Have you ever prayed until you thought, Lord, I got to go, but I don't want to go. I don't want to go, Lord. I want to stay and talk with You. I want to stay in Your presence, dear God. Lord, I've got to go, but Lord, go with me. Do you ever feel like that? The Bible says, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. The Bible says, pray with thanksgiving. The Bible says we ought to be abounding with thanksgiving. The Bible says we ought to give thanks over our food. It should be received with thanksgiving. Thank God for it. All these things. God talks a lot about being thankful. But you know what? So many people are unthankful. There are no doubt, I don't doubt there are people in this room today that you're not as thankful as you ought to be. And I'd like for you to turn today to a passage in the Bible where God actually calls it sin. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And chapter... No, I believe I've got the wrong one. 1 Timothy. You know what, folks? I don't know where it is. But it is 2 Timothy. I was looking in the wrong chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here we find what I would call a catalog of sins. A catalog of sins. And you know, my friend, when we come to the house of God, you know, we need to hear about our sins. That's not all we need to hear. We need to hear about how wonderful God is. We need to hear about the love of God and the joy of the Lord. And we need to hear about heaven, but we also need to hear about hell. And we need to hear about the blessings of God and the benefits of God, but we also need to hear about sin. Somebody needs to preach it, and somebody needs to be bold enough. And I know your pastor is, and you ought to thank God for him every day that you have a pastor who's not afraid to stand up and preach about sin. Some pastors won't do it. They're afraid somebody will leave the church. Mr. Moneybags over here, he's going to leave and the offerings won't be so big. And they worry about things like that. They don't want to offend anybody. But I'll tell you what, a man of God ought to think, first of all, God, I don't want to offend you. And when a man gets up and he's afraid to preach the whole counsel of God, he's offending God. And he's not going to be a blessing to God at all. And he won't help his people either. We need to hear about sin. Now, here's a catalog of sin. I won't preach on all these, but just notice this. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Are we there? Self-love. Probably, really, the damnation of America is self-love today. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. There it is. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. My friend, this is the country we're living in today. This is a description of America today. God help us. May God help us to get on our knees and call out to God. And He is having mercy on us, but continue to say, Lord, please continue Your mercy. Don't give up on us, Lord. Don't let us lose our freedom. We need to be pleading with God right now. And we need to be going out like the Lord said. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. The best thing you can do for America is lead an American to Jesus Christ. Amen. I tell you, I would absolutely love to have the privilege to witness to some of these men that we see on the national stage. I'd love to get to witness to Donald Trump. Now, I thank God for the good decisions he's made. And I thank God that I read an article the other day, there are more Bible studies taking place in the White House by people who were put in place by Trump than there has been anybody can remember. And I thank God that he said no transgenders in the military. I thank God he had enough backbone to say that. But I don't believe he's saved. Some say they do. But I think Donald Trump, he says what he thinks. He has no screen. It just comes out. If that man got truly born again, the world would know about it. Japan would know about it. China would know about it. Rocket Man would know about it. If Donald Trump got saved, I believe that. And I would absolutely love. He's got a mind. He has got a mind. I would love to. And maybe somebody have. Maybe our vice president have. Thank God for our vice president. Amen. Said, number one, I'm a born-again Christian. Thank God. There's a lot to be thankful for. Amen. But maybe he has. Maybe he's had that opportunity. Chuck Harding is right there, you know, with his capital connection. Maybe he's had that opportunity, but I'd love to have that. Sit down 15 or 20 minutes with Donald Trump and just say, look, brother, my friend, this is the gospel. This is what salvation is. And we've got that privilege, my friend, and the best thing you can do is give out gospel tracts and try to remind Americans there's a God, there's a judgment day, there's a Savior, there's a heaven, there's a hell. And just remind this generation, let's serve our own generation by the will of God. Let's be faithful. Here it says, unthankful is a sin. If you're unthankful today, it's a sin against God. And you need to repent. You ought to come to this altar today. Some ought to come to this altar, bow the knee and say, God, forgive me. I've been grumbling. I've been mumbling. I've been complaining. Dear God, forgive me. You've been so good to me. Just to let me live in America. Just to let me be a child of God. Just to let me go to a church like this. Have a pastor like I've got. My friends, my marriage, my family. God, you've been so good to me, and yet I've been complaining. I've been down and out and had the mully grubs. You ought to come and say, God, forgive me of that. Give me a thankful heart. Oh, it's a sin to be unthankful. When I mention this man's name, nobody will know this man. Ed Spencer. Has anybody ever heard the name Ed? I mean, you may know somebody by that name, but this man lived in the 1800s named Ed Spencer. Ed Spencer was a student at Northwestern College in Chicago back about the middle of the 1800s, about 1860. Ed Spencer was in perfect health. I mean, he was an athlete. He was a swimmer. And one day, as he and some other students were near the shore of Lake Michigan, they looked out. A ship had gone down. And there were people in the water. And Ed Spencer, without a thought, jumped in that water, swam out, and pulled somebody to shore. And he went back out and pulled somebody else to shore. That man went in the water 17 times. I can't imagine it. I might be able to swim to that exit sign if my life depended on it, if they're holding a gun on me. I might be able to do that. But I can't imagine somebody with that much. He had to have some help from God. 17 times. And he saved the lives of 18 people. So evidently one of them was probably a mother and baby. And he pulled them to shore. And then he collapsed and went unconscious, saying, did I do my best? Did I do my best? His health was never the same. His health was gone after that. But he lived, I think, to be about 70 or so. And when it came time to die, somebody interviewed him about that day. And he said, you know, the most remarkable thing is not one person ever thanked me. Can you believe that? Not one person came and thanked him. That's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But today I ask you, are you unthankful? Look with me at Romans chapter number 1, and we're just about to finish up here today. I'm so looking forward to tonight. I'm so looking forward to wearing bib overalls to church. I'm just looking forward to that. And looking forward to the great time we'll have tonight. I hope everybody will be back at 5 o'clock. Please, don't let anything stop you. Be back here at 5. Bring somebody with you tonight. But I want you to look at Romans chapter 1. And, you know, here is really the source of sin in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. The Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I just wanted you to notice today that this not being thankful to God, when these people, it says that they knew God, they knew there was a God, they knew about God, but they were not thankful. And I want you to notice the slippery slope that it put them on here, a slope of sin. I want you to notice, we don't have time to read all these verses, but I'll just mention some of the things that follow this unthankfulness that was in their heart. The first word we see is vain in their imaginations. They became vain in their imaginations. The next thing you notice, they had a foolish heart, and it was darkened. Their understanding was darkened. Their hearts were darkened so that they could not understand. And then you read about idolatry. They began to, they changed the glory of God into an image like a bird or a beast, and worshiped idols. And the Bible, you see, the Bible is teaching us here, if you don't appreciate God, you'll try to change God. If you don't appreciate God and love God for who He is, you'll try to change Him. You'll try to change His image. You'll make your own God. And that's what they did. And that's what many Americans are doing today. Then you find lust. As you go on down to the end of the chapter, you find lust. And you find people dishonoring their own bodies. Don't we see that today? People dishonoring their own bodies. And then you find they're changing God's truth. And then you find vile affections. Vile affections. And then you find homosexuality. And there is no doubt about it that God's displeased with that. God calls it an abomination in the Old Testament. And God condemns it here in Romans chapter 1. And no matter who says it, no matter who tries to make it acceptable, no matter who tries to play it down and say it's not so bad, my friend, it's a sin. I don't think it's the unpardonable sin. Because in another place, Paul speaks about them and he says, such were some of you. I think people can be delivered from it. But our society today is trying to make them comfortable in it. No, we don't have the Boy Scouts anymore. We got the Boys and the Girl Scouts together now. I guess the next thing, the Transgender Scouts. Who knows what's coming? What a mess we're in today. It's a chain reaction. It's a slope going down, 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 down. And look where it winds up. It winds up in these last verses, being filled with all unrighteousness. Verse 29, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, and on and on. Where does it all start? Where does it all start? Neither were thankful. My friend, it's not just a bad commentary on your life if you're not thankful. It's sin. But thank God we can repent of our sin. God forgives us of sin. And not only does He forgive, but 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's cleansing from this sin and any other sin that you may have today. You know, we're thanking God today, majoring on Thanksgiving. But you may be here today and you're not even saved. You may be here today and you're on your way to hell. You may be here today and you don't know for sure that you'll walk on the streets of gold someday in heaven. You're not sure about that. My friend, you need to get saved. You need to get it settled. You need to do business with God. You need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what I did when I was 15 years old. I knew I was lost. I knew I was on my way to hell. I walked down that aisle. I knelt down. I cried like a baby. The Bible doesn't say you have to do that. But I was under such conviction of sin that I felt so condemned and so guilty. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for His work of conviction. And I just said, Lord Jesus, save me. I need You. I need You to save my soul. Forgive me of all my sins. And I trusted the Lord that night. I trusted Him as my Savior. When I left that night, I was different. I was changed. I had the love of God in my heart. I had the joy of the Lord in my soul. That old burden of sin had been lifted off of me. And you might be saying, that's what I need. That's what I need. Come and get it. Amen. And when you give this invitation, come to the Lord today and say, Lord, save me. You might be here today and you are saved. But let me ask you, what is in your life today that God's not pleased with? What is there in your life? What is there in your home? What is there in your entertainment? What is there in your vocabulary? What is there today that God's not pleased with? You need to come to the Lord. Say, God, forgive me. Bow the knee at this old... Let's use the altar today. Let's just come. I mean, tonight's old-fashioned Sunday night. And you know what? America's getting away from the altar. Baptist people are getting away from the altar. Some don't even give altar calls anymore. I still believe in an altar. It's a good place to die to self. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, please take the message now.